Part 3. Transforming Suffering. Chapter 8. Facing Suffering.
In the time of the Buddha, a woman named Kisukutami suffered the death of her only child. Unable to accept it, she ran from person to person, seeking a medicine to restore her child to life. The Buddha was said to have such a medicine. Kisukutami went to the Buddha, paid homage, and asked, "Can you make a medicine that will restore my child?" "I know of such a medicine," the Buddha replied, "but in order to make it, I must have certain ingredients." Relieved, the woman asked, "What ingredients do you require?" "Bring me a handful of mustard seed," said the Buddha. The woman promised to procure it for him, but as she was leaving, he added, "I require the mustard seed to be taken from a household where no child, spouse, parent, or servant has died." The woman agreed and began going from house to house in search of the mustard seed. At each house, the people agreed to give her the seed, but when she asked them if anyone had died in that household, she could find no home where death had not visited. In one house, a daughter, in another, a servant, in others, a husband or a parent had died. Kisukutami was not able to find a home free from the suffering of death. Seeing she was not alone in her grief, the mother let go of her child's lifeless body and returned to the Buddha, who said with great compassion, "You thought that you alone had lost a son. The law of death is that among all living creatures there is no permanence." It is clear from many of the Dalai Lama's speeches and remarks that compassion and suffering are closely linked in his philosophy. It is difficult to learn genuine compassion without understanding suffering, and we cannot fully understand suffering without directly confronting it first. And yet we have so many ways of denying or avoiding our problems, pain, and suffering. In beginning to learn how to deal with suffering, the story of Kisukutami is very instructive. Her insight into the universal nature of human suffering did not lessen the inevitable suffering that came from her loss, but it did reduce the suffering that came from struggling against this sad fact of life. Although the Dalai Lama believes that we may move towards happiness and freedom from suffering, we must begin that process by accepting it as a natural fact of human existence and courageously facing our problems head on.
In our daily lives, problems are bound to arise. The biggest problems in our lives are the ones which we inevitably have to face, like old age, illness, and death. Trying to avoid our problems or simply not thinking about them may provide temporary relief, but I think that there is a better approach. If you directly confront your suffering, you will be in a better position to appreciate the depth and nature of the problem. If you are in battle, as long as you remain ignorant of the status and combat capability of your enemy, you will be totally unprepared and paralyzed by fear. However, if you know the fighting capability of your opponents, what sort of weapons they have, and so on, then you're in a much better position when you engage in the war. You might consider things like old age and death as negative, unwanted, and simply try to forget about them. But eventually, these things will come anyway. And if you've avoided thinking about these things, when the day comes that these events occur, it will come as a shock, causing unbearable mental uneasiness. However, if you spend some time thinking about old age, death, and these other unfortunate things, your mind will be much more stable when these things actually happen. You have already anticipated that they will occur. There's really no avoiding the fact that suffering is a part of life. And of course, we have a natural tendency to dislike our suffering and problems. I think that ordinary people don't view the very nature of our existence to be characterized by suffering. I mean, on your birthday, people usually say, "Happy birthday." But actually, the day of your birthday was the birth of your suffering. But nobody says, "Happy birth of suffering day." Our attitude towards suffering becomes very important because it can affect how we cope with suffering when it arises. Now, Our usual attitude consists of any intense aversion and intolerance of our pain and suffering. However, if we can transform our attitude towards suffering, adopt an attitude that allows us greater tolerance of it, then this can do much to help counteract feelings of mental unhappiness, dissatisfaction, and discontent. I think how you perceive life as a whole plays a role in your attitude about suffering. For instance, if your basic outlook is that suffering is negative and must be avoided at all costs, and in some sense is a sign of failure, this will add a distinct psychological component of anxiety and intolerance when you encounter difficult circumstances, a feeling of being overwhelmed. On the other hand, if your basic outlook accepts that suffering is a natural part of one's existence, this will undoubtedly make you more tolerant towards the adversities of life. And without a certain degree of tolerance towards our suffering, our life becomes miserable, then it's like having a very bad night. That night seems eternal. It never seems to end. So, for me personally, the strongest and most effective practice to help tolerate suffering is to see and understand that suffering is the underlying nature of samsara, of unenlightened existence.
Samsara, a Sanskrit term, is considered a state of existence characterized by endless cycles of life, death, and rebirth. This term also refers to our ordinary state of day-to-day existence, which is characterized by suffering. All beings remain in the state, propelled by karmic imprints from past actions and negative delusory states of mind, until one removes all negative tendencies of mind and achieves a state of liberation. I mentioned to the Dalai Lama that the idea of the underlying nature of existence, at least our ordinary daily existence, which is characterized by suffering and is basically unsatisfactory, sounded somewhat discouraging and pessimistic.
When I speak of the unsatisfactory nature of existence, this is in the context of the overall Buddhist path. These reflections have to be understood in their proper context, which is within the framework of the Buddhist path. Unless this view of suffering is seen in its proper context, there is a danger of misunderstanding this type of approach as being rather pessimistic and negative. Consequently, it's important to understand the basic Buddhist stance towards the whole issue of suffering. We find that in Buddha's own public teachings, the first thing he taught was the principle of the Four Noble Truths, the first of which is the truth of suffering. A lot of emphasis is placed on the realization of the suffering nature of one's existence. The point that has to be borne in mind is that the reason why reflection on suffering is so important is because there is a possibility of a way out. There is an alternative. There is a possibility of freedom from suffering. By removing the causes of suffering, it is possible to attain a state of liberation, a state free from suffering. According to Buddhist thought, the root causes of suffering are ignorance, craving, and hatred. These are called the three poisons of the mind. These terms have specific connotations when used within a Buddhist context. For example, ignorance doesn't refer to a lack of information as it is used in an everyday sense, but rather refers to a fundamental misperception of the true nature of the self and all phenomena. By generating insight into the true nature of reality and eliminating afflictive states of mind, such as craving and hatred, one can achieve a completely purified state of mind free from suffering. Within the Buddhist context, when we reflect on the fact that our ordinary day-to-day existence is characterized by suffering, this serves to encourage us to engage in the practices that will eliminate the root causes of our suffering.
I began to sense how reflecting on our suffering nature could play a role in accepting life's inevitable sorrows, and even as a valuable method of putting our daily problems in proper perspective. But I was curious to hear how the Dalai Lama dealt with suffering on a more personal level, how he handled the loss of a loved one, for instance. The subject arose in one of his public talks when an audience member, clearly in pain, asked him how to handle a great personal loss such as that of a child.
To some degree, that depends on one's personal belief. If someone believes in rebirth, then accordingly, I think there is some way to reduce sorry or worry. One can take consolation in the fact that the loved one will be reborn. For those people who do not believe in rebirth, then I think there are still some simple ways to help deal with the loss. First, you could reflect that if you worry too much, allowing yourself to be too overwhelmed by the sense of loss and sorrow, and if you carry on with that feeling of being overwhelmed, not only is it very destructive and harmful to yourself, ruining your health, but also it would not have any benefit to the person who has passed away. For example, in my own case, I have lost my most respected tutor, my mother, and also one of my brothers. When they passed away, of course, I felt very, very sad. Then I constantly kept thinking that it's no use to worry too much, and if I really loved those people, then I must fulfill their wishes with a calm mind. So I try my best to do that. So I think if you've lost someone who is very dear to you, that's the proper way to approach it. You see, the best way to keep a memory of that person is to see if you can carry on the wishes of that person. Initially, of course, feelings of grief and anxiety are a natural human response to a loss. But if you allow these feelings of loss and worry to persist, there's a danger. If these feelings are left unchecked, they can lead to a kind of self-absorption, a situation where the focus becomes your own self. And when that happens, you become overwhelmed by the sense of loss, and you get a feeling that it's only you who is going through this. Depression sets in. But in reality, there are others who will be going through the same kind of experience. So if you find yourself worrying too much, it may help to think of the other people who have similar or even worse tragedies. Once you realize that, then you no longer feel isolated, as if you have been picked out. That can offer you some kind of condolence.
The wish to be free of suffering is the legitimate goal of every human being. It is the corollary of our wish to be happy. Thus, it is entirely appropriate that we seek out the causes of our unhappiness and do whatever we can to alleviate our problems. Searching for solutions on all levels, global, societal, family, and individual. But as long as we view suffering as an unnatural state, an abnormal condition that we fear, avoid, and reject, we will never uproot the causes of suffering or begin to live a happier life.